Finding a hoodie that lasts through the season can be tough. The American Giant Classic Full Zip Hoodie is made to last year after year. Snag the hoodie that brings comfort for life. Save 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20 at checkout.
What I'm trying to do as a public service commissioner is responsibly but rapidly transition Georgia to those clean energy resources that are going to save us money on our power bill. Data centers have a purpose, but they draw an enormous amount of electricity. You know, I live, eat, breathe energy, and I want to bring that to this job, but there's a much bigger component to it of being a public official and being out there in the public and speaking to folks. So the state has been under one-party control for quite some time, so if someone comes along and says, I think we can do things differently and shakes it up, it just draws attention. I would say the advice that I would give if you're considering running for office is I'm Peter Hubbard, and I am the Public Service Commissioner for District 3, but also I'm a clean energy expert, and I want to use that expertise to bring clean energy to Georgia to help folks lower their power bills. The Georgia Public Service Commission is probably the most important agency that you never heard of, but what the PSC does is they regulate how much you pay on your electricity bill if you pay a power bill to Georgia Power Company, and also how much you pay on your gas bill. And they determine where that energy comes from. How do we generate the electricity? Is it from nuclear or gas or solar or batteries? And so it does those two things, how much you pay on your power and gas bill and where the energy comes from. So one of the things that the Public Service Commission does is every 3 years, the power company, Georgia Power, presents a long-term plan. It's called an integrated resource plan. And as public service commissioners, we evaluate that plan of where the energy is going to come from. Is it going to come from clean energy resources or is it going to come from other sources? And we decide what that mix of energy should look like and then give that plan approval. And then Georgia Power goes out and implements that plan. We do that every 3 years. We take a fresh look at that long-term plan for Georgia. And that's an incredibly important thing because it decides, again, where that power comes from and ultimately how much you're going to pay for that power. There are cleaner, more reliable sources than some of the things we're using now, and we're in an energy transition. And what I'm trying to do as a public service commissioner is responsibly but rapidly transition Georgia to those clean energy resources that are going to save us money on our power bill. So before the public service commission, in this 1 year term I have, I was a clean energy expert who founded a nonprofit so that I could go down in front of the commission and make the argument that we could lower folks' power bills if we adopted more clean energy. And I did that through four of these long-term integrated resource plans, beginning with the 2019 IRP. And after 6 years of that advocacy, there was a chance to run for office. And so I stepped into that role so that I can really implement that change with a seat at the table and a real critical look at how we put those plans together and what are the real benefits and costs of them. So it's important work, and it's something that I've been doing for a long time as a nonprofit leader. But even before that, I was a consultant with Siemens Energy Business Advisory. And for about 10 years, I did consulting work, coming up with long-term plans for utilities and working also to develop clean solar and battery storage projects. So I've been in the space and know what works and what doesn't work and what can save folks, what people can do to save money on their bills and how we can do that from a big systematic approach. So there's a lot of different moving pieces, but that's where I think I have a lot to offer. As I have worked at different levels in utility space and the clean energy space, and I understand these different pieces. I want to bring them together so that we can transition this state in a responsible way. And so that's a lot of what I'm trying to do at the Public Service Commission. Again, this is just a 1 year term I have, and there's it'll take more than just 1 year to make a lot of the change that we need to see. In order for Georgia to transition to a 100% clean energy state, that will take time. It can't happen overnight. We can't flip a light switch, even though electricity travels at the speed of light. It's going to take time. So what we need to do is be thinking about those long-term plans. The next opportunity is the 2028 Integrated Resource Plan. And so that's when we take a critical look at the long-term plan over the next 20 years for how we're going to develop energy. And it might take 20 years before we get to that point, because about half of our energy comes from natural gas, about 15% from coal, and the rest is nuclear and solar and hydro. So we've got some clean energy resources, or at least carbon-free resources now, but a lot of what we use to generate electricity is fossil fuel-based, and it just takes time to change those things. So what we need to do is be smart and responsible and plan for that transition. We need to take care of the folks that are working in those power plants, make sure that they're, you know, have a soft landing. We need to train up the workers who are going to build those clean energy resources. This is a kind of all hands on deck workforce training, education. You know, there's a whole host of things that we need to be considering to move the ship of state towards clean energy. There's a few different levers that the Public Service Commission has. And some of those are kind of systematic. Every 3 years, there's an electric power plan that I talked about, and also a rate case when we can decide how much you're going to pay on your bill. That's every 3 years. That's a lever we can pull. We can critically look at the plan that's proposed and make changes. The gas side, every year, there is a gas capacity planning process, and then also a rate case on the gas side. So we have a more frequent chance to actually take a critical look at what we're paying on our gas bills. And that's good. But otherwise, it really is, you know, there's some proactive things that we can do. In many cases, we're waiting for the regulated utility to present their changes, like a power plan or a rate case, and then we respond to it. But there's also things that the Public Service Commission commissioners like myself can do in terms of convening stakeholders. There's people that want to see more electric vehicles, and we're manufacturing those here in the state with the Hyundai plant and soon to be a Rivian plant. We're manufacturing solar modules or panels here with the Qcells factory. We've got SK Battery here. We've got all these things that we're manufacturing. We just need to put those resources and people to work building that clean energy future. And that's the kind of thing that I can kind of bring together those people and talk about how do we do this efficiently and rapidly. And that's a kind of a soft power that the Public Service Commission has. So, you know, you don't have to just stay within the four corners of the Public Service Commission. We have a job to do, but we can do more than just that. Well, okay, so in talking about the 2025 election that I ran and how that kind of changed me, so beginning in April, that's when I qualified. That's when you go in and pay your check, and then your name is now on the ballot for the primary. And it was a very, you know, you don't really know what the landscape looks like until that qualifying week, and then you have the folks that you're going to be trying to jockey with for attention. And that took really for the primary, there was a primary runoff and then a general election. That was a 7-month time frame. And I've never been through a public facing 7-month, 3-round interview process like I did with this election for the Public Service Commission. And I also, I think what I did, the way I approached it and how it changed me was I just gave my all. I lost count after around 70 different events that I had gone to, meet and greets and webinars and talking to people. And so I just gave everything that I had to get out there and talk about the messaging of what we can do on clean energy and on affordability. And that took a lot because I was also working a full-time job and also taking care of kids at the time as well and being a family man. So it was just an all-in, and I gave it my all. And I also didn't expect quite as much attention. Maybe I should have, because this state has been under one-party control for quite some time. So if someone comes along and says, I think we can do things differently and shakes it up, it just draws attention. So, I mean, the day after the election, I got a call from some very important people. And it was remarkable to see how much attention it had gotten from governors and other folks in the national spotlight who were paying attention to this Public Service Commission race. It even made it onto the Daily Show 3 different times, and I that was really funny to see. So, you know, it's an interesting thing for me. I just want to do the job of a public service commissioner. That's, you know, I live, eat, breathe energy, and I want to bring that to this job. But there's a much bigger component to it of being a public official and being out there in the public and speaking to folks. And it's new to me, growing into it. You know, it's important work. And so it's the reason why I'm here. So there's a job to be done. It's a family decision, first of all. I mean, if you have a family, then you're going to have to talk to them because they're going to be sacrificing right along with you. And just think, dig deeply about what you have to give and what your lane is and how you can contribute and just lean into that. And, you know, we all have gifts that we're given, and there's different ways to serve the public. And that's what running for office is. It truly should be public service. So you just have to think about what's the greater good that you're going to accomplish. How are you going to do it effectively, rapidly, get in, do the job, and then move on with your life if you need to. But I don't plan to be a politician for all of my life. I would like to get in, do this job, and then get back to being a family man. So, you know, there's work to be done, and I'll be here until the job is done. If it takes a decade or more, great, we'll do it. But, you know, it takes a lot to run for office. And so just, you got to know what you're getting into, commit, and know that you will have a lot of power to influence change for good and use that power wisely. I would say the advice that I would give if you're considering running for office is think deeply about what you have to offer and then build a coalition of people that can help you. You can't do it by yourself. You're going to need to build up people that see that same vision and that can come along with you on that journey. So think deeply about what you have to offer. Figure out where that space is. Maybe it's running for office in the House or the Public Service Commission. There's lots of different spaces, but what do you have to contribute and how can you do it most effectively? Start talking to people and building that coalition and just jump in. I think what Georgians should look for in investments to make sure they're efficient and fair is we have to look at the evidence that's there. So when we're talking about the bigger system, that integrated resource plan, and this is what the Public Service Commission looks at, we have to weigh the pros and cons of every energy resource that's coming to the table. So there's different attributes. Solar has a lot of good to it, but it doesn't work at night. So then you need batteries. And you know, there are other resources that bring things to the table, but they also have drawbacks. And so we need to kind of look at this in a balanced way. But for everyday Georgians, really, you know, think about this as your home. You want to make that efficient. You want to make sure that if you're running your furnace or your air conditioner, that it's not all getting leaked out into the atmosphere. So there's some very simple things you can do to just kind of check for where the cracks are in your home and where air can be leaking out. And that can have a huge, huge impact on your power bill and your gas bill and the comfort inside your home, especially when it's cold outside or very hot outside. It's a very simple thing that Georgians can do with some help. I did actually some of this home efficiency weatherization for an elderly gentleman in Decatur just a couple of weeks ago. And I mean, the gentleman had an 8-square-foot hole in his house, basically, when you added up all the different cracks. And so all that air was just getting blown outside. And as a result, he had double the power bill that he should have. And so there's some simple things that we can do. And literally just going around caulking the cracks and plugging up the holes with insulation. You know, it took a couple days worth of work, but then he can enjoy lower power bills month after month and the comfort of having a well-heated home in the winter. So that's one of the things that I would focus on. And then you can start to step up to things like heat pumps and other really efficient appliances. And I'd also recommend if you have a gas stove in your house, that gas stoves are linked to childhood asthma. So look into an induction stove or anything other than gas in your home. It's like having a tailpipe backed up into your kitchen. So, you know, there's health impacts, there's impacts to your power bill, there's you know, it takes a little bit of effort, but there are resources out there that can even help pay for some of those appliances or those energy efficiency upgrades. So that's part of what I want to do as a public service commissioner is get some of that information out there. And I'll be working on this, but just know that there are home energy appliance rebates, HEAR, and then HER. Those are two different types of grant programs that the Georgia Environmental Finance Authority provides. There are pots of money out there to help people do what I'm talking about, and I'm going to try and help connect people to those resources, Georgians here, especially low, moderate income folks, seniors on fixed incomes, people that need that extra help. Data centers are very much a big topic here in Georgia. And, you know, there used to be a lot of data centers, and there still are in Virginia. They were coming there for cheap electricity, but they started coming here to Georgia. We've got somewhere between 100 and 200 data centers. And they can be kind of smallish, or they can be massive, much bigger than Walmart's. And they're basically just buildings filled with row after row of computers. And they do things like, you know, every time you stream Netflix or you're on the social media, or, you know, there's large language models like ChatGPT. There's a ton of business and enterprise things. Data centers have a purpose, but they draw an enormous amount of electricity. And so here in Georgia, you know, we've, the Public Service Commission before I joined, proposed really about 10,000 megawatts of new generation, about a New York City's worth of power plants, basically, for data centers. And that didn't, that was kind of a long-term power plan that was developed before I was on the commission. But that's the kind of scale that we're talking about, an enormous build-out for data centers. I've mentioned the 10,000 megawatts. That's on a system here in Georgia where, you know, about 16,000 megawatts is the peak. And so we're talking about building a really large part of our grid all over again just for data centers. And that comes at a cost. We have to pay for those power plants. And in theory, all of these new customers are going to be paying for all of those power plants. I have some concerns around the risks of whether or not they show up, or if they show up, if they're going to stick around for the whole life of the power plants to pay them off. And so there's some concerns there. And that's why I think it's important to have a public service commissioner like myself who can really look at the pros and cons of these different plans and figure out if this is the right way to do it, or how can I steer it in that right direction. That's what data centers mean, is they are just enormous consumers of electricity. And unless we have regulators who are paying attention and making sure that those costs aren't getting shifted onto you and me, then there's a real risk there that they're not, those data centers won't cover the costs. Only other thing I'll say is that these are really deep-pocketed folks, private equity and others. They can pay their fair share. We just have to ask them. And they're willing to do it. Microsoft has already said that they're not going to ask for tax abatements in terms of property taxes. And they're willing to pay more. We just need to be asking that of them. And so there's some good that can come from them. They can help to lower how much you pay on your taxes, but we don't want that to come at the cost of you paying more on your power bill. And that's why we need to be thinking very critically and cogently as policymakers, as people who are leading the state, on how can we allow new businesses to come to the state but not have those costs be shifted onto folks like you and me. It's a tricky thing to do, but that's we've got to get it right, because if we don't, then we're going to be stuck with really expensive assets that you and I are going to have to pay off for a long time. So it's a pretty critical, important thing. And that's why data centers are in the news. They're popping up like mushrooms in people's backyards. And we just need to put thought into these things. And if they're going to come here, make them pay their fair share. And we just have to ask them to do that. So I know it sounds simple, but this is a big, important thing, and data centers are going to be a topic that we need to address. We can't run away from it. We've got to think about this and put together, again, a thoughtful approach to data centers, and I haven't seen that yet in the state of Georgia. We're just kind of, it's a free-for-all, and I think we need to wrap our arms around this pretty quickly, and I'm trying to do that from the power side. But there's a bigger ecosystem of water and land use and tax abatements along with power. So all of those things are in the mix with data centers, and we need our state leaders to be thinking about good policies on how to do it right. I think the question that the PSC should be asking the power company and others when new large load customers like data centers come online is, how can we supply the energy and the capacity that they need without necessarily going to building brand new power plants? Can we use the grid that we already have more efficiently? And so then those new customers are paying into the whole kitty, but we're not building new power plants. You can use that to lower folks' power bills. That's the question we should be asking. But, you know, we're set up in a state where there is a monopoly electric utility, and their business model is to build. They're effectively a construction company, and that's how they make their money. And so there's a you know, that those are the questions that we need to be asking, is why do we really need to be building these new power plants, or can we use what we have more efficiently? And is what you're proposing really the very best resource that is going to meet these new large load customers? And I would argue that we should be doing much more of what even red states like Texas are doing. They are embracing low-cost solar because it is the fastest to market, it is the cheapest resource, and we have an abundance of solar energy here in the state. So we really should be doing much more of that clean energy because it is going to allow us to bring those new customers in without impacting our power bills. And it's just, it's good for business. You can make good money in clean energy, and that's why you're seeing Texas do that. So we can be doing that here. We have to be asking those questions of the power company of, is this really the best plan for all of Georgia? Or is this just the best plan for, you know, just a limited number of folks? What is really in the interest of the entire state? I would challenge anyone to say that that solar power isn't reliable by asking, when is the last time that you remember a day when the sun didn't rise? We can count on the sun to rise 100% of the time. And even if it's a cloudy day, those solar panels are still generating electricity. Not as much, but we can plan for that. So solar is incredibly reliable. And when you couple it with a battery, some place to store that energy, and then you can use that energy during the evening times and the morning times, then you're covering your bases a lot more. So there are systems that are almost entirely run on wind, water, solar, and batteries, basically renewables and a way to store it. So renewables are incredibly reliable. They're much cheaper than fossil fuel. Fossil fuel is a subscription model. You got to buy it year after year. It's like the Netflix subscription. You got to keep buying the fuel. When you have renewables, the fuel is delivered right to the power plant. The sun shines on it. The wind comes right to that power plant, and you don't have to pay anyone for it. So there's real benefits to renewables, and there's a lot of myths out there, like the Landman TV show. There's a lot of tropes in there that are just falsehoods that are perpetuated by folks that don't want to see renewables eat their lunch, like the fossil fuel companies. So there's at least two things that I would love to see, and one that I'm working on is something called plug-in solar or balcony solar. It's a pretty simple concept. The state of Utah already has this legislation passed where you can go to a Costco, buy a couple solar panels with a microinverter on it, and then plug it in to an electric outlet, and it'll offset about 10-15% of your energy consumption. That's something that people can do in Utah today, and there's at least 21 other states that are considering this legislation. I would like to see Georgia be the 22nd. There is a little bit more to it, like it's helpful to have an electrician put a dedicated circuit in, and there's one little upgrade to the panel, the electric panel you have to do, but it's a pretty simple fix. It's basically people can use their own capital to go to a Costco and buy it. And then, you know, it's a small investment, maybe a few $100 or $1,000, but then you get 30 years of shaving 10 or 15% off your bill for decades. So that's one thing that I hope we can do in Georgia to help people on the affordability issue. I'd like to see even other projects like community solar. So instead of little individual things like balcony solar, few solar panels, we have more larger installations that renters and multifamily housing tenants, people can on a monthly basis without a contract, just enter into it and see. There's programs like this already in Illinois where those folks that are on community solar programs see a 10 to 20% savings on their bill right from the start. And we could do that in Georgia too. It's going to take a little bit of time, but those are the things that I'm trying to work on. Here in Georgia, we had the Inflation Reduction Act. That was a federal policy passed in August of 2022, and it gave tax credits to manufacturers like solar panel manufacturers like Qcells. And they came to the state because of those tax credits from the federal level, but also because here in the state, we do have a very good program of workforce training and really trying to bring businesses to the state and make sure that they have a trained workforce and they're able to, get the utilities and other things like that. I mean, there's a pretty comprehensive plan. So the state and the federal level working together is what has brought a number of these big name projects like Qcells and Hyundai and Rivian and SK Battery. And I think that's smart when we're working together with, when we're incentivizing the things we want to see more of, and we're supporting that ecosystem with skilled workers, then we get business coming to the state. And as you know, and you know, as long as we don't ask them, or as long as we don't abate too many taxes that they're going to pay, then they're bringing a benefit here. So I think that's incredibly important when we see kind of the federal and the state level, whether they meant to or not, working and rowing in the same direction, then we get big economic development here in the state. And as long as we're asking those projects coming to the state to pay their fair share and pay their fair taxes, then there's a real benefit to the state. So I'm in favor of that. I wish that the tax credits from the federal level would continue. And so it's been a real challenging transition for businesses which don't like uncertainty. They like predictability. When we say we're going to do something for the next 10 years and then 3 or 4 years later pull the rug out from under them, it's not great for business. So half of that equation is rapidly going away. And that's slowing things down a little bit on the clean energy side. But just last point, despite that rug pull from the federal level, solar is still the cheapest resource, and we're still building it everywhere because it's such a good resource. So even without that federal support, it still makes a ton of sense. I think one question that ratepayers can ask of their energy system is, how can I have more clean energy? If I want to do the right thing and work towards 100% clean energy, then give me those ways to do that. And that's what the Public Service Commission is there to do, be responsive to those who are looking for that transition. So I do think that, speaking your mind, going to the Public Service Commission, talking to folks like me about what you'd like to see in your energy system. I'm assuming you'd like to pay less on your bill. You'd like it to be cleaner and more responsible. And those are things we can be working towards. We got to be the change that we want to see. We got to work towards it. We got to find solutions. And I have those solutions. I want to bring those to the table at the Public Service Commission. That's why I ran for office. We've got to keep building this coalition and keep rowing in this direction, but we can get there. And the question is just, how can we get there as rapidly and responsibly as possible?